This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Merciful God, may we not be like the disciples who fled in fear. May we not be like the religious leaders who turned away quickly in order to continue their busy lives. May we not be like the political leaders who were anxious to see a return to the status quo. May we not be like the thief who taunted Jesus and demanded a miracle. Instead, Lord, we pray for the heart of the other thief, the one who saw your Son as Savior, who offered a heartfelt expression of trust. Hear us as we praise you for Christ's sacrifice, for his victory over death, for his willingness to remember all who turn to him in faith. When our life on earth is over, may we be with him in paradise. Amen. Good morning. As I think most priests do, I read the readings on this afternoon to start getting ready for next week's sermon and just sort of let it germinate in my mind and heart during the week. And different lines in the scriptures come back to me during the week. This week, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." The specific time when this came back to me this week was when I was sitting in the dentist chair getting ready to have my wisdom teeth pulled, and the nurse was on the left and the dentist was on the right, and I was thinking, "Father, forgive them. I hope they know what they're doing." And they did. Hope we know what we're doing. That's really the theme of this Christ the King Sunday. Said sometimes before, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's what this is all about. The main thing for us as Christians is Christ as our King, and for Christ to be King in every portion of our lives. And that is the call we are given today. This feast day is not an old one. It's something many denominations like ours have adapted from the Roman Catholics. Pope Pius XI started this in 1925, at a time when dictators were starting to come into power like Mussolini and Hitler. And the Pope decided, that we needed something that was to remind especially Christians who the true king, where the true power lay in the world and beyond, and that is with Jesus Christ. So the question then becomes for us, is he truly our king in every portion of our lives? In a short time, we are going to call the Saperton family up to baptize Daniel Nicholas Reed. And we're going to respond to baptismal promises where we're going to recommit ourselves to a lot of stuff, but it's basically to say that, yes, Jesus is going to be number one in all aspects of my life. This is the last Sunday of the liturgical year. We will start a new liturgical year with our beginning of Advent next weekend. I think it's an appropriate time for us, especially as we celebrate this loyalty weekend, to really talk about our loyalty. And it's not just about the money that's in our pocketbook. It's about every area of our lives. And so the questions, perhaps an examination of our conscience today, is Jesus really that for me? I know there are areas of my life that I really don't want to look at sometimes, because if I look at it and acknowledge that it's there, I'm going to have to do something about it if I'm going to be honest with myself. I did a little etymological background check on some of these words that are in this reading. I looked up, the leaders scoffed at Jesus, and I looked up scoff, and it says, see, mock. Well, a little later on in that paragraph, then the soldiers mock him. I looked up mock, and it says, see, deride. I looked a little further on, and guess what? The bad criminal is the one who derides Jesus. In other words, they're all doing the same thing. They are all belittling. Deride means to make fun of, to belittle, to make fun of the other person so that you will think less of them and more of me. Now, in this situation, I would like to think that if I was there, perhaps my reaction would have been a little bit different from those three groups or even the crowd that just stood there. But I know too often in my own life, this is what I do. I make fun of other people because at times I don't want it to reflect back on something about me that I need to look at. This is what's going on. The leaders, they could have stood up and said, look, we know that this guy has done nothing wrong. Leave him alone. But that would have been a risky thing to do, and so they don't. Then the others who mock him, the soldiers, they could have said, we've seen this guy. He even healed the centurion's son. We saw what this guy has done. He's innocent. Leave him alone. But no, they don't do that. And then the criminal who had to have known, since the other guy did, that Jesus had done nothing wrong, could have said the same thing that the repentant thief did, but he doesn't. Because in all of those cases, it would call those people to reflect a little bit about their own self, about their own life, and maybe the ways in which God was calling them to change and to grow. And that's not so easy sometimes for us. We don't want to work on things sometimes. Maybe we're fundamentally lazy. Well, maybe we don't even care enough about ourselves to do that. I'd like to pose a statement to you that I think can help. There's nothing we can realize about ourselves that can destroy us. There's absolutely nothing we can realize about ourselves that can destroy us. The only things that can destroy us from within are the things we are unwilling to admit, the things we are unwilling to face. The people in this story today were unwilling to face up to things and be honest with themselves and with each other, and they end up crucifying the Son of God. So too for my life, so too for all of our lives. Those areas that can be painful to look at, those areas where God might be calling me to grow, that can't destroy me by realizing that. What can destroy me and everybody around me is when I am willing to face up to those things, when I am unwilling to let God touch that part of my life. The deepest truth is the truth that can set us free. To put this into perspective, to end with, you know, it's hard for us, I think, to get in touch with this Christ the King concept because we don't live in a monarchy. Helen's back today from England. Helen could probably preach on this one since she lives over there in Canterbury half the year. But we don't have a king. We don't have a queen. That's sort of why we got this country started. We didn't exactly like what King George was doing. But I looked up, did a little research on a place that is a kingdom, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. In their constitution, in Article 6, it says this: citizens are to pay allegiance to the king in accordance with the Holy Quran and the tradition of the Prophet, in submission and obedience, in times of ease and difficulty, fortune and adversity. On this feast of Christ the King, we who are Christians, if we were to adapt this to our own constitution, it would sound something like this. I am to pay allegiance to Christ my King in accordance with the Holy Bible and the tradition of the Church, in submission and obedience, in times of ease and difficulty, fortune and adversity. Quite a challenge. But remember the comfort that goes with it. The last words that Jesus utters to a human being in his earthly life, "Today you will be with me in paradise." May we accept his challenge. May he be King in all aspects of our life, so that we too will be with him in paradise. Amen.